This is the Growth and Greatness e-commerce podcast, powered by Right Hook Digital, with your hosts, Scott Seward and Raymond Johnston. If you're an e-commerce brand founder, entrepreneur, or marketer looking to accelerate profitable growth for your business, then listen in, because this is the podcast for you.
All right, welcome back. And we are going to dive into something a little bit different today. We're going to talk about creative.
Yeah, we are.
What's working now? You know, we've got some pretty cool things that we've been testing out that surprisingly have been working extremely well across the board and doing some pretty big numbers for some clients at the moment. So what are we seeing?
Seven figures. Wait till the end. So you stick around.
That's right. So one of these creative formats drove about $2.5 million worth of sales for one of our clients in 24 hours the other day in a big launch campaign. And this one was just flying. So we're going to talk about that one last. But so what we're going to go through three creative approaches, tactics that is working really well across the board for us at the moment. And hopefully it gives you guys some thoughts on how you can apply it now and get a bit more leverage out of your ads, because creative is going to be pretty important this year, isn't it? We know that.
Yeah, it is. And it always surprises me too, because we try not to have an opinion when we test a creative, but what's so surprising is some of the things that work, it's old school. Some of the things that work, and logically you would say, I should never try or test it. But then it's the thing that actually ends up winning the account and scaling the ad account. So I love with some of the things that we're going to go over today, with some of the strategies that we're seeing that works. I think a lot of you are going to be really surprised what's actually working right now.
And the simplicity. And I think that's
exactly.
I think that's a really good one to kick off. So one of our senior strats in the office here with me, he tested this first one out that I'll let Ray jump into in a second. But this was used on broad DPAs and pretty much took a break-even campaign to 3x cold audience top of funnel. And then we've applied it across several other accounts since. So Ray, take away creative angle number one.
So the first one. It's actually probably one of the easiest ones I think a lot of people overlook, and that's actually simply adding frames to your DPAs. So for some of you novices out there, a DPA is a dynamic product ad, and you can actually have an option within Facebook where you can add a frame. The frame can just be a border. It can be something stylized to where you can put like star review ratings as a mask over that product that dynamically shows in that card, that carousel. So really anything you can imagine, you can put in there. And a lot of people overlook it. They'll just throw up a DPA. If it works, great. If it doesn't work, nuts, I'm just going to turn it off. Well, no, like there's so many possibilities you can do even within that frame. So what we're seeing that works is, if you remember, the whole point of ads is to get attention. So what we're doing is we're adding borders to it. We're adding star ratings. If we know this product has 5-star reviews, or this product line has all 5-star reviews. Also, what we're adding here as well is we may add like a little quote on the very corner of it. So there's endless possibilities you can do to this thing, or just adding a simple color border to grab more attention, which we've seen convert. And it's really surprising because it's a great way to break up the noise of, for example, if you run a bottom of funnel, if that's where you're running it, to where they're not seeing the same dynamic ad all the time. It's a great way to break it up. But in addition, it's a great way to also stick out from competition, even though they can do it too. It's so overlooked that you can add a really nice aesthetic, in my opinion, to those dynamic ads, because everyone's seen the boring white border, or the white product, the white background with the product. Like, how boring
that's what most of them are.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. And it was like, it was a really simple test that initiated this. It was a female fashion client, and it was literally putting just a thin black border around the DPA, and it basically tripled the returns on it. So
isn't that amazing?
It's crazy. It can often just be, and this is the importance of, I guess, just having a list of things to test, no matter how simple they are. You know, it can be just simple things like that that stops the scroll, grabs attention, that pattern interrupt where people are just used to exactly what you're saying, just a white product background on a DPA ad. A border breaks it up, grabs your attention, gets a click, starts driving sales. So yeah, testing simple things always
real quick. I want to add, it can be really easy too. So what we like to do during sales, especially every Black Friday, but especially during like a sale campaign, is if you don't have a designer, if you don't have Photoshop, literally go to Canva and you can add a price tag, add a percentage off of that store, and you can create that in Canva with the border, and then you can just upload that to your ads. And now the products that are served in that dynamic ad has a little tag on that says 30% off. And like I said, it's a great way to break it up. You don't have to make, if you have 100 products, you don't have to make 100 versions. You make it one time, Facebook does it dynamically.
Beautiful. So easy, so underutilized. Let's roll on to number two. What do we got, Ray?
Yeah, so the second one is, this goes back to the comment you said earlier, is keep it simple. The last 6 months, I think it's become really transparent, probably more than 6 months, but really transparent to us that the simpler the videos perform better. And a lot of times I think people overthink what's actually going to convert well when they could create a lot more quantity rather than going for that one amazing quality video that if it flops, then what do you do? So the next one that we're seeing convert really well is what we call authentic mobile first. Now, there's a lot of different versions of this. Let me kind of walk you through it and then we can kind of discuss each one individually. So what I mean by authentic mobile first is literally content that's made with a phone. I mean, it can be something that you get from a customer, what we call UGC, which is user generated content, or it can be that what you as the founder or your team of your e-com brand make. So for example, one of our brands that we're actually going to do probably 4 million this month, what they do is they do a lot of fashion, is they will literally, they'll have someone on the team hold the phone, have a model try on whatever that particular apparel is. And they'll ask the person questions. So from the person doing the video's perspective, you can hear them in the video asking that model, hey, how does it feel? How does it fit? Turn around for me, strut your stuff. They do that and that video has been crushing. I mean, it's probably done like $300,000 this month alone, top of funnel, which is fantastic. Then you have the other version, and that's actually just what we call UGC, user generated content. And what we see work the best is same thing, get it in the hands of a model or an influencer or just your own team, essentially have them do it selfie style or looking at themselves in a mirror with their phone, recording it. So the more authentic and mobile first you can get, we're actually finding it converts better than the highly produced content.
It's almost like a bit of a voyeuristic view of two girls just in a change room talking about trying the clothes on, right?
Pretty much. It's
so real. And it is like they're actually trying it on and talking about the product and talking about the clothes. It's a really, really simple approach. And there's one other thing that seemed to work really well on one of those is putting, like, again, going back to the frames, like almost like a fake video recorder thing with a battery and the recorder
flashing
right up at the top. Just so it's almost got that voyeuristic aspect to it. So that was something that worked really well across a few others as well.
And what we tell our brands as well is, hey, if you're going to do this style, honestly, go into Instagram, or TikTok, make the video there with the same styling platform, and then just download that video and then test it as an ad. It converts insanely well because I think what we're finding is that there's been such a radical shift in the type of content people like to consume that if you overproduce it, you're missing out. And me and Scott talk about this, and like consumers vote with their dollars. They vote what they think about your brand with their dollars. And so that's why when we see this work so well, then obviously it means you're producing more value to them because they love it enough to actually follow through and buy.
Exactly. Let's think about slightly different products. The first two have probably been a bit more fashion focused. The first one with the frames, the DPAs, that can be applied to anything. But I think the mobile first UGC, that applies to a lot of the discretionary sort of fashion products. So the next one, I'll let you take it away. And this is probably thinking about more specific utilization products or problem solving products.
It is, you're right. So the third one we're going to talk about is it's education and entertainment. Now, what I mean by that is we live in a society where it's all about education and entertainment. And so how we think about it, and I encourage everyone to think about it, is if you have a product that maybe solves a problem, hypothetically, or it solves a problem, but they're not aware of it yet, ask yourself, the people I'm going to try to advertise to, are they already problem aware? If they are, then great. You can agitate that problem. We can go into that in a little bit. And then are they solution aware? Do they know what the solution is, but they're just not aware of what product is going to solve that problem? And then thirdly, are they product aware? So that's kind of how we think about it. So if you can, if in that product that maybe solves or that fits a need, if you can in that content either if they are already problem aware. So for example, an easy one is, it takes me an hour and a half to wax my car. Everybody knows it, everybody hates it, but they want that shiny object, right? So if they're already problem aware that it takes me forever and I sweat to death, then cool, then all you have to do is focus on making them solution aware, henceforth education, or you can use some entertainment with that and then educate them about your product and they become product aware. So how we see this work, Scott, is we see a lot of these brands that maybe that aren't that discretionary is they'll choose one of those two. So for example, a one that we know very well is what they do is they talk about how easy it is to do it in three steps. For example, like wax your car in three steps, but it takes you 5.5 times less time than before, for example, okay? And in that video, they just walk through 1, 2, 3, it's 25 seconds and that's it. But that ad's been working for like 6 months. Or the other version is to go full entertainment. And if that aligns with your brand and who you are, then yeah, try to include some entertainment and have fun with it.
Go for shock factor if you can.
Yes, exactly.
We've seen some shock factor ones work pretty well, but it's got to be on brand. I think there's another way that we sort of think about that internally, right? And you talk to a few of the guys on our client partnerships team, and it's peak pain to peak pleasure. If you want to think about like the flow and structure of that video, okay, going back to, yeah, problem to solution, but peak pain, how can we push on, you know, what's the issue that they're really dealing with and okay, what's the solution that we've got and what's the outcome? So it's a really simple structure. It's not really anything new, but it is something that we've seen just continually work really, really well for a bunch of our brands at the moment.
Yeah, so, real quick on that is, so a great example that Scott's leaning into is if you know that someone has a pain in that area, what we like to do is we like to directly call it out and agitate it. So for example, using the example I gave a few moments ago is waxing your car sucks, but it doesn't have to. And there you go. You already agitated that everyone, they hate doing it, but they do it because they want that shiny car, right? Like that's a great example. If you have that problem, if anything, it makes it easier to get in front of those people and to get their attention because there's a lot of angles you can play with to agitate that pain.
And it's often like, what's the deeper pain, right? So if you think, let's think about like sleep deprivation, for example. Okay, you've got a problem. Your problem is you can't sleep, but what's the result of that? You know, well, you're tired, you're cranky, you're less productive. So what could be a deeper level pain for that? Do you feel like you're failing as a parent because you're overtired? Wow. Like that would kill, right? Like that's just going to go straight to the heart. Like, so how can you go deeper on that pain point to, you know, a more core psychological level? And really that's what's going to sort of push that. And then you can start leading them towards the solution for that problem.
Yeah. And I think the deeper, and this is a challenge for all of us marketers, is the deeper you can understand what the root cause of it is, of why they're maybe even going on this journey to fix this problem, it's going to land a lot better. So for example, like your example of, you know, waxing your car, like, yeah, saving the time, like that may not be the root cause, but something deeper might be because they have more time to do something else. Or another reason why. So if you can find that gives you a lot more availability and angles as well, because we care about angles, to test those different and agitate those different pains.
And all this, like especially this approach really comes back to making sure that you've done your persona research first. You really need to understand the pain that they're dealing with and doing that brainstorming around the angles and the messaging. You know, this approach is very different to, you know, getting UGC or something like this, where you're dealing with a problem-focused product. It's really, this is where the psychological element comes into it for mine. And it's going back to those fundamentals of understanding your audience, your buyer persona, getting deep on a psychological level as to, you know, again, what is the core problem, right? Is it the core problem is, again, like the sleep deprivation thing? Is it that you are, you know, you feel like you're being a letdown as a parent, or it's leading to issues with your spouse? You know, there's always going to be a deeper thing there that you can drill into. And I think that's, people get stuck at that surface level immediate problem, but what's underlying that and how can you tap into that? Because that's where you're going to get the real explosion in performance.
I want to ask you, me and you, we talk about this and internally a lot, but especially for people listening, what would you say are the recommended ways for people to really dive into it and to actually understand that well enough to where they can like really agitate that pain?
Yeah, I think like going away and just documenting specific personas and trying to speak to that one direct person. So for example, you know, we look at what we do as an agency and who our ideal client is. You know, we spend a lot of time, not just myself, but collectively we speak to the guys on the sales team, to you guys on the strategy team and clients, and drilling down to, okay, who's like, what are the traits of that perfect person that we want to be working with or involved with? And the same if you're trying to sell something, right? So we want someone, and just using, you know, our ideal client as an example, you want someone who's business savvy, who's got a reasonable understanding of running paid traffic so that they can ask the right questions, that they've got their finances in order, and that their business is at a certain level with a certain average order value and certain conversion rate. This is like those foundational things. So I think it's drilling in, and then, you know, what does that person's day look like? How old are they? Do they have kids? Do they have a family? How are those things going to impact them, and how can we tie that into their marketing positioning? How do they identify themselves, right? So if I'm writing an ad, you know, we work with a lot of fashion brands. I could go out there and say, yes, we get amazing results for e-commerce brands. Cool. But I can narrow that down and get more specific and talk specifically to fashion brand founders who identify themselves as more of a creative, as opposed to an e-commerce entrepreneur or a marketing manager or something like that. I'm going to use different languages and different messaging angles within that. And that's the level that you got to get to. That's like, you know, what drives them? What are their fears? Can we push on those fears, or what are their aspirations? And how does your brand or product fit into that journey? You know, are we the hero in their journey of taking their business from $20,000 a month to $250,000 a month? What role do we play in that? It's all these things. It's like really getting into the nuance of it and spending the time thinking, but that's what's going to help drive really strong ad copy and messaging across your brand. And I can't emphasize doing that. And I think it's something that gets overlooked a lot more than it should.
It does. And out of the probably hundreds of brands that we work with, the people that really know their customers as their brand, and the people who don't, and they have a difficult time not only explaining their customer, but explaining, you know, what's unique about them and how they fit into that customer's life and that persona. It's a night and day difference between how they actually perform when it comes to advertising. And so one thing, that we like to tell not only our team, but the brands as well, is if you don't know it, then you need to go on this journey. So do your personas. What I like to recommend is start digging into every review or comment they've ever left on your site, or if you're a new brand, find another brand, could be a competitor, dig into their review so you can better understand, like, why are they even buying this product? Like, and what are they saying after they buy the product? For example, I think one of the best examples, me and you have talked about this to death, is a brand that we've worked with. Is there's a comment on an ad of a person who bought these particular boots, and they said, oh my gosh, I feel so great. I literally feel like Wonder Woman. That's what she said. And so that helped us develop this persona of people who are buying these boots because of how it makes them feel, especially with that, you know, the story arc, or really the persona of like what Wonder Woman embodies, like for females. And so we went on that persona. And I remember we made one ad that was just one sentence, and then probably made them like $500,000, you know, over a period of time. So that's just a great example of once you hone in on that thing.
I think you ran that ad for like 8 months, right?
Yeah, it was a long time. It's probably actually more than that. I think last time we calculated, it was like 700 to 800 grand.
Which just goes back to like the importance of creative in general, but it can be one ad that turns around an account in a business, and that can set the path for everything going forward. So yeah, if you're struggling, it can really be just that one ad, that one creative that turns everything around and can give you the ability to scale from there. All right. So let's go to number four.
Yeah. Number four is, I think we've seen a big shift in this one as well. And that is, it's closely related to the education, entertainment, but that's actually demonstrations. I think where a lot of brands, where they go wrong, is they try to put their product out there in the world saying, look at my product, you know, it does this, but they completely close the gap. I mean, they miss the gap, excuse me, of how to use it, but also how a consumer can see themselves using it. So one of the best ads that we run right now is just demonstrating the product in use. So again, going back to, for example, like this, if you have a brand and you have a product that helps people to sleep better, demonstrating that, like, get better sleep in 2 steps, take this gummy or take this powder, drink it, have the best sleep of your life, like demonstrating the product in use. Or another one is actually, if it's fashion, here, I'm going to literally put these pants on or this dress on. Let me show you how it works, how I feel. Okay. Or if it's actually waxing, if it's like a spray wax for your car, okay, wax your car in 5 minutes in three steps. Do step one, step two, step three. And we run a lot of those, and you're surprised. I'm surprised of how well it works, because, and when I think about it, it's because it closes the gap. And what I feel like on the hardest part about buying online is not only how does the product work, but can I see myself using it? Because I can't touch it. I can't feel it. I can't talk to someone that's actually selling it, like at a store. But if you can show that demonstration authentically as well, mobile first is what often works the best, is that we find that it converts really well because that person can see themselves actually using it.
Not ad related, but on a similar level, I saw a really good one the other day on a product page for, again, another women's fashion brand. She was doing that exactly that. So they obviously had their images scroll through, and then the third one was a video of her trying it on, but talking through it, like talking about the feel of the material, the length of the arms, the fit around the neck. It was like a quick 10-second video, but I hadn't seen someone doing it that well before. I think to add that extra element to a product page, I think it would really help from a conversion standpoint. I'd love to know or have insight into whether that did have any impact, but super powerful, you know, just seeing people use it and talk about it. It's always going to be something that adds a lot of value.
One last thing on that, Scott, is just to tease something that we're testing, and it's not fully ready yet, but a couple of our brands to take that demonstration to the next level, AR. So we have a brand right now, and they're a cosmetic brand. So we're testing where if they click on this ad, for example, then it then turns, they have the AR enabled function on their phone and through Facebook, and they can actually, in real time, using their camera app, they can actually see what that product looks like on them. So that's like the next level. And I think the early signs we're seeing from the engagement of that is fantastic. But if that's something you're interested in, like that is the next level. And I think that's where the world's going as well.
Without doubt. Like, yeah, I can't wait to see what the next 5 years, there's going to be some awesome stuff rolling out. And we know a few people in the space who are working heavily on the AR side of things. And I think that's really only just started. I think it's going to be crazy what comes out of that space soon.
Because I know, like, even on the product pages too, you can do this with Shopify, is you can enable AR on your website. And on the product page, if, for example, if it's like a sofa, you can enable this, obviously, if you've done the background to enable on your website, to where it'll open up your camera app and you can see the sofa in your space in your home to see if you like it. So I'm super bullish on the AR in the future. I think it is the next level and it is the future.
Exactly. I think if you one of the early adopters and can get in and create a point of difference in your user customer experience now, like, take advantage of it. I think it's definitely worth playing with. And we've got a couple of clients that are starting to invest into it, and it's paying dividends from what we're seeing. All right, this last one's really, really cool. Now, coming back, we had a sale campaign that did $2.5 million in 24 hours last week. And this was like the primary creative angle that really drove a lot of that, and especially a lot of the build-up, list building campaigns prior to that. And we've seen it across a bunch of other accounts in slightly different formats, works on video, works on images as well in different ways. And there's different things you can play around with it, but I'll let you take this one away. Cause it's again, simplicity, but just something that's absolutely crushing it, especially across fashion accounts for us at the moment.
Man, it really is. And this last one is honestly split frames and single images. It's the particular brand that we did that over 2 million in 24 hours. It, like I said, in the very beginning, it blows me away the things that work really well. And that one is working across all of our fashion brands. And that's one specifically. So that one, there's a single image and they had that particular product in use as a single image, and they're split into three frames. And there's a different picture, three frames of that particular product, but in different scenarios or different poses, whatever that is. And that was the winning ad. And so what we did is we cross-referenced that from our other fashion brands that's doing it. And same thing. Sometimes it's a two frame, sometimes it's a three frame. We have one brand that they've probably done 300K from their split frame, and it's an eight frame, where there's eight frames in that single image and it's showing the product in different scenarios. Yeah. And that is the thing that's winning.
amazing for if you've got a winning product, amazing for showing it in its different variants. So if you've got a specific cut of a dress, but you've got different designs or patterns, or you've got a pair of pants that you've got.
And colors too. That's working well.
Exactly. Like you've got 8 colorways to showcase. Perfect format for it. So that's the last one. Like really go away and test that. Also seeing that work really well on video. And we've been testing this a little bit where we've got the 3 images, but like scrolling in different directions. So just a bit of that pattern interrupt. So it's still the same sort of, I guess, concept behind it, in that you're showcasing different variants of the product or slightly different products or whatnot, or different use cases, but just that bit of movement. You could even do that in a GIF or something like that, really basic, but such a simple thing, working, probably the best working creative approach we've got at the moment that's really crushing it at scale. That's it. That's the big winner.
So I guess the takeaway is don't overthink your content. All that is very easily made, and we've tested highly branded, we've tested high production. At the end of the day, you know, being a performance company, is that the things that are doing the best, converting the best, making the most money, is the simple, highly authentic.
Yeah, and I think it just comes back to making sure that you're spending that time just brainstorming, and just don't worry about it being some complicated thing. It's usually the base, most basic things. Simplicity, but how can you do something a little bit differently? How can you know, present or communicate something a little bit differently? It doesn't have to be a big shift, but it can make a massive difference in an account.
And one last thing is, I had a conversation with a brand literally last week about this, because they were talking about, because they do photo shoots and video shoots, and they spend so much time in that photo and video shoot, which is fine, as you should. But what I challenge them is that this is a quantity game when it comes to testing, because what a lot of brands don't know is that when we run a test, it's highly structured. We have specific kill rules. We have specific rules that have to pass before it moves to scaling. But a lot of times is, if an ad doesn't convert, not much money is spent and not that many people see it. So there really isn't any harm in testing high volume. It's actually the better way to test, because it's not going to hurt your brand. It's not going to hurt your perception, because so few people see it. If it doesn't convert, it dies. But if it does convert, it's proven to be a winner. And 9 times out of 10, we find those are the ones that most of the time they pass certain criteria. So just as an encouragement for everyone who is testing high volume, or you're about to, try not to worry so much about like your perception of it, because if you test it right, like we test, honestly, not that many people will see it. You'll kill it. You move on to the one that's actually going to scale.
Same. And I think that wraps it up very, very nicely. Kept it pretty short and sweet this week, a little bit more tactical, but I think it's good to give everyone just a few things that they can take away. And, you know, again, we're coming back to the fact that one of the biggest levers that you have, and, you know, it's always important, but with everything that's going on in the landscape with Facebook advertising at the moment, creative is just the one area where you can probably have the biggest impact. Double down on it, test new things, take the tactics that we've given you today, implement them, and hopefully you can get some results and get back to scaling nice and aggressively. Thanks again for tuning into this episode of the Growth and Greatness e-commerce podcast. I hope you got a ton of value out of this episode. And if you did, we'd love for you to leave us a review on your platform of choice and help us reach as many people as we can. Now, if you're a brand founder, an e-commerce entrepreneur, or an in-house marketing manager looking to accelerate your growth this year, reach out to us at Right Hook Digital. We're a performance branding agency, and we specialize in partnering with e-commerce brands to help them hit their growth goals with maximum ROI. Now, if this sounds like a solution that you need, then check us out at righthookdigital.com and schedule a call with our client partnerships team. They'd love to have a chat with you and see how we can help you grow in 2021.